So, on the surface, as we've been going through the book of James, this book appears to be just listing a bunch of exhortations, a list of do's and don'ts. But underlying each of these exhortations is a common theme, and it is whether your heart, soul, and mind are engaged, not just with an understanding about Jesus, but also whether you know Jesus himself. There's a big difference between knowing about Jesus versus knowing him personally. Now, this is not a new theme. This is not a new theme to James. The book of Psalms, for instance, you hear is all about desiring to know, to experience God's presence. If you read the early church fathers in both the East and the Western churches, they're always talking about this desiring to see, to ascend to, or to be in union with God. And consequently, living the Christian life is not about following a list of rules and laws. Rather, it is about a life that flows out of this relationship of love, adoration, and intimacy with this Jesus. You do the things he tells you to do, not out of fear, but rather because you are in love with him, as he is in love with you. And the theme in today's text is whether you are a judgmental person. And of course he says, if you are, stop it. But what he is really saying is, if you can't stop it, it's not just because you are bad. Rather, you don't get Jesus, and you do not get him because you do not know him intimately. Based on this premise, then James lays out a blueprint of what good communication skills looks like. First, let's look at the behavior, and second, the means to change it. First, the behavior. In chapter 5:12 and 4:11, you have a comprehensive Christian theory of communication. What is it? Paul puts it in a nutshell, actually, in Ephesians 4:15, where he says, speak the truth in love. And then back to James 5:12, we are told to speak in truth. And 4:11, we are told to use the truth lovingly. So 5:12 says, above all, my beloved, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James here, by the way, is quoting Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, do not swear, take oaths, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, Jesus appears to be saying that we should never take an oath. But that can't be the case because Jesus himself took oaths. So did Paul. So did God the Father when he committed himself to a covenantal relationship with his people Israel in the Old Testament. So what does Jesus mean? Well, he means for Christians giving oaths should be inconsequential. There should be no difference between giving an oath on a stack of Bibles and your simple yes and no. For a Christian, there are no levels of truthfulness. If somebody says to you, will you call me this week? And you say, yes, you better call that person. Because in a sense, your hand is always on the Bible. Don't think that when you put your hand in the Bible, you can take an oath. But the rest of the time, you can kind of cross your fingers and fudge your response. We probably do that sometimes. God holds you responsible for everything you say. There are no levels of integrity or truth. There's just the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And if you don't know, simply say, I don't know. But that's just one side. It says in 4:11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against one another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. In other words, Christians should not have a judgmental spirit. First, it's important, though, to recognize that judging and slander is not always about falsehood or telling a lie. Let's consider the words slander, the word that James uses for slander. It does not simply mean don't tell lies about somebody else. There is another Greek word for lie that James is using here. You can say something about someone that is true and accurate and still be slandering and judging someone. So James is not particularly here forbidding telling lies about somebody, although that too is wrong, but rather using a truth in a certain way to hurt people. Here's another qualification. As a Christian, you must think about not just whether you're telling the truth, but what is your purpose for doing so. Many people think that slander and judging refer to any kind of moral evaluation. People today say, oh yes, don't judge. But what they are really saying is, do not make any moral evaluations. That's why you often hear that Christians are judgmental. But consider this. If you believe someone is lost or morally going down the wrong path because they do not believe in the gospel, the fact of the matter is, it does not matter how nicely you say this to someone, what will the response be? It likely will be like this. Oh, that is what I don't like about you Christians. Don't you realize that just because you think what is right for you might not be for somebody else? Therefore, you should never say someone else's religion, behavior, or morals are wrong. Do you think that way? Well, James, that is not what James and Jesus are talking about. But still, let me quickly respond to this reaction, because at its best, it's contradictory, and at its worst, it's hypocritical. When someone says, you must not make a moral evaluation, that is a moral evaluation. As soon as someone says, you must not tell someone else is wrong, that person is doing the very thing he is saying you must not do. When someone says, you must never call someone else's religion wrong, they're saying that about yours at the moment. And as soon as you say, you must not evaluate someone else, you are evaluating the very person you are speaking to. It is contradictory because no one can avoid making moral or truth evaluations. It's impossible. Now, James does not forbid you making moral evaluations, but rather how you make them. James uses the words slander and judge interchangeably. The word slander literally means to belittle, to talk down to somebody. And the word judge means to condemn. Now notice the word judge is contrasted with brothers and sisters. In other words, he's saying, act like a brother or sister, not a judge who should not belittle his or her sister or brother. Whereas slandering and judging is telling the truth to punish, as would a judge, rather than redeem another person. You see, a judge is not a parent, not a brother or a sister. A judge's job is to make sure someone pays their debt to someone else or to society. And likewise, when someone slanders and judges someone, they're addressing someone else in a morally superior way. It seeks to make the person small, weightless, and lose respect in the eyes of others. Somebody says, how can we avoid a judging spirit? Well, you need to recognize it in yourself, and here are a few signs for you to look out for. I've got four of them here. First, when you criticize someone, are they destroyed? Is the person destroyed and crushed? You must be careful here because there are people that no matter how you speak to them, they will fall apart. But if you find that whenever you criticize someone, they are made to feel little, lose self-respect, and deflated, you probably have a judging spirit. Two, you have a judging spirit if you have a fault-finding habit of mind. Do you quickly judge people before you have all the facts? Do you think everyone around you are jerks and deserve to be told that they are? If so, you have a judging spirit. There's only one reason why you feel irritated with everyone around you. It's because you feel superior to them. Three, a judging spirit a sign of a judging spirit is you enjoy not only telling people about their faults, but also hearing about them. Now, I must admit, I am particularly at fault here. When I hear about a church having internal problems or other clergy struggling, on the surface I say, oh, how awful. But deep down, I kind of like it. It makes me feel good that I am not like them. Why do we enjoy listening to gossip? It is a judging spirit. Why? Because it makes you feel righteous. 4. Another sign of a judging spirit is when you go beyond the facts and impute motives to people. Happens when we quickly, let's say, accept just one side of the story. That often happens with our kids, right? Our kids will tell us, oh, so-and-so friend is bad, 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 but usually there's another side of the story. So how do we avoid all this? Jesus says, you say thou shalt not murder, but I say also to you, if you call someone a fool, slander, and defame that person, you're also guilty of judgment. In other words, and this is quite interesting, slander is not a subheading under lying. It's a subheading under murder. Now, is that extreme? Well, consider this. How were the Nazis able to kill millions of Jews? It was because for many years they called them no ones. It was because they considered Jews subhuman. They could then justify killing them. So why Jesus says, whenever you place yourself into any position of moral superiority to condemn and write people off, that is a subheading of murder. How do we avoid this? Well, basically, we need to remember who the only true judge is, who it is. And there are three things about God that make him alone the judge. First, he is the only lawgiver and judge who can give and destroy because God is our creator. If I create a piece of furniture, I alone can decide what I ought to do with it. Therefore, I can break it apart and start all over if I wish. And since you and I are the created, not the creator, we do not have the wisdom to judge other people. We have no idea what they deserve. You may have enough wisdom to take the truth to help and build someone else up, but you don't have enough wisdom to break them down and punish them. For instance, let's say we have a person here who is less patient than you, okay? But you have no idea what kind of background she had, how her parents, let's say, treated her. She could be a far greater steward of the deck life gave her than you are. You have no idea what she deserves. Why? Because you are not wise enough. Second, only God has enough righteousness to be the judge. God didn't make up the law. He is the law. Lying is not wrong because God decided it is wrong. It is wrong because God is a God of truth. God is truth. The law reflects who God is, his very nature. Why do you think Jesus said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone? Because there is only one person who is righteous, is the law, and lives the law, and Jesus is that person, not us. Lastly, God is the only judge because he is the only one who can and has saved us in this world. Jesus in particular is the judge who willingly came to be judged to save us. Now, how can a judge save? The only way a judge can save someone is not by just stop judging any person. He can, but he shouldn't just say, oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter that you've turned your back on me and hurt other people around you. Where is the justice? Would we be happy with a legal system that acts that way? Of course not. And yet God has committed to never abandon us with his love. So what does he do? Well, the answer, and you probably know it, is the cross. Jesus, the rightful judge, comes as a man and becomes the judged. In that way, justice is served, and God's commitment to bring us back into a covenant relationship of love with him is also upheld. Truth and love can be held together because on the cross, truth and love meet in Jesus. And getting that and then letting the cross melt your heart will then enable you to avoid judging and slandering people. Amen.